Welcome everybody to Friar Talk today. It's a good day to be a Padres fan. They're doing pretty well, outside of a couple issues with the pitching, but they've really become a team that is just really dominant hitting team. The first thing that we're going to start off with today is the play of Manny Machado, because Manny has been absolutely tearing the cover off of the baseball. So over the last 7 games, Manny is hitting 556 with an 1896 OPS. That's over the last 7 games. He's hitting what, 294 now? And maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, he was hitting under 200. So completely turned around the season so far, and it has been remarkable. Manny is absolutely balling, and this is the Manny Machado that Padres fans have kind of been waiting to emerge. Not like Manny has been like bad or anything, but he hasn't really gotten to one of these hot streaks where you just can't pitch against him. And I don't know. I think that it's something that I think a lot of it has to do with Tatis playing so well. And I think a lot of it has to do with that Tatis is now hitting in the two spot and Manny's hitting in the three spot. And it's making pitchers go, okay, we got to throw to one of these guys. And then you have Trent Grisham leading off. And the other day he hit three home runs. So this 1-2-3 kind of pop at the top of the lineup has been great. Then you have Hosmer's been solid. And then you have Will Myers, of course, who yesterday, we're recording this on Friday, Will Myers hit a three-run home run to walk off one of the most exciting Padre games that I can remember, where the Padres scored 7 runs when they only had one out left. You don't see that every day. But this team has a ton of power, ton of pop, and a hot Manny Machado is absolutely carrying the team right now. So, Isaac, I know that you were kind of not really worried, but we had talked about it that, there was some concerning thoughts with Manny, like, hey, what's Manny doing? Like, is he gonna kind of like get going? How has this hot streak kind of changed your mind on him? Not maybe not changed your mind, but kind of got you excited, I guess.
Ever since we signed Manny, I've been a Manny Machado fan ever since we got him. Obviously, I didn't like him on the Dodgers, but since we got him, I've liked Manny. It's just his early season struggles were a little concerning just because, we did sign him to a really big deal, but recently he's, like you said, he's crushing the ball, and I feel like it's just maybe an adjustment on his on how he's seeing the ball. I think he's just having more fun out there. You see him and he's finally hitting the ball. And he's smiling and he's dancing, he's having fun. And I just felt like when he wasn't hitting very well, he was so tense and he was so, he just wasn't himself. And that's a big part of the mental game. Baseball's 90% mental. So if you're in your head, it's very hard to get out of it unless you're hitting the ball. And I think that's how Manny's doing good right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another big takeaway is that Fernando Tatis hasn't exactly been carrying the offense this. I mean, over the last 10 games, the Padres are 8-2, and it hasn't really been the Fernando Tatis. I mean, of course, he's one of the leaders on the team, and he's probably in the head of the MVP race. But over these last 10 games, it hasn't been him just solely carrying the offense. I think 2 episodes ago we were talking about like, okay, are we going to get any offensive production out of these other guys? Because it really seemed like it was Fernando Tatis and then Will Myers, and those were the only guys producing runs, and all of the runs were coming off of home runs, and there just wasn't RBIs, there wasn't stuff like that. Now you see Hosmer had a clutch RBI yesterday in the first of the double headers. Will Myers, I said, I mean, he was already playing well. He's been fantastic this year. But now you're going to get Trent Grisham playing in there, doing well. Cronenworth has, I guess, taken that job at second. I think that's a big deal. And you have this first, I would say the first 6 guys in the lineup that it's like, okay, these guys are everyday players. And that would be Trent Grisham, Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, Will Myers, and Jake Cronenworth, of course. Maybe he'll win Rookie of the Year, but you have these 6 guys that are just balling out. So, Chase, how do you feel about this lineup now? Because I think there were a lot of question marks coming into the season, and in my opinion, they've been resolved for the most part.
Oh, absolutely. We thought we were going to have a revolving door around second base. So seeing Cronenworth not only hitting the absolute cover off the ball, but playing possibly gold glove caliber second base along with Tatis cleaning up his errors. And then Machado just going back to himself when he was on the Orioles and hitting around 300, just hitting the ball out of the park constantly. And even Hosmer with the resurgence of him and him not hitting the ball on the ground and lifting it out, it's filled a lot of questions that, or it's answered a lot of questions that needed to be answered in the offseason. So this offense has been more than what I thought personally was going to come into, and probably what we all thought was going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I think the only, I guess the only question marks on the team right now would be who's playing left field and who's playing catcher, just because there hasn't been that much production. And even talking about the catcher stuff, Austin Hedges had a great series against Houston. So it's kind of funny that we have like, okay, like the catcher position is struggling. And then like a couple series ago, Austin Hedges, I mean, I think he hit two homers. He had like over 1,000 OPS. I mean, and it was a very small sample. And I don't expect Austin to keep that up. But the fact that this group was kind of like, okay, who's going to play outfield? Who's going to emerge at second? Can Hosmer and Myers be better? They've both been better, I think. I think one of the big deals with Hosmer is that my biggest issue with Hosmer was that defensively, he just would make, he couldn't, he wasn't picking the ball well. He wasn't making, I don't know, like consistent plays. And he's been solid. I haven't seen anything out of him at first base where I've been like, Hosmer, really? I think the first game of the year, either first or second, he tipped a ball off his glove or something like that. And I was like, oh, great. Like, we're going to have this again where Hosmer can't make a pick. Maybe that's the infield just getting better and giving and throwing him better balls, you know, to first base. But he hasn't made any plays that I've seen, at least, where I was like, dude, come on, Hawes. Like, you're supposed to be this four-time Gold Glover. He's been playing good for playing well at first base. I think he's batting 253 right now, so not the best average, but he seems to be making hits at the right time. He's had a couple of homers, and he also hasn't played. He's had a kind of a weird year with the stomach issues, but I've been really happy with Hosmer. And this is a guy that I've been like, that definitely frustrated me, where I don't know if his contract will ever be like a bang for your buck per se, but it definitely seems like he's a good player. So I'm happy with how he's been doing. Will Myers has been incredible this year. He has a 943 OPS, a lot of home runs, a lot of power, a lot of doubles, a lot of clutch hits. He has eight homers, 21 RBIs, and if you just have these complementary pieces to Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis, this offense will be so consistent moving forward. So, hats off to the offense. They have just been balling. Isaac, do you have anything else you want to bring up about the Padres offense so far at this beginning of the season?
So earlier in our podcast, I said that home runs isn't going to win us all the ball games. Yeah, I take it back. Clearly, it's working right now. So I'm loving the home runs. These guys are mashing the ball right now. You know, it's good to see these guys are getting on. And I think this past series was a good example of timely hitting. Maybe not the whole series, but just that one game against the Mariners where we came back down four. There was just, you know, Manny and Eric came through. There's been a lot of timely hitting lately, and I feel like that's led to some W's, so.
Absolutely. Chase, anything else that you wanted to add about the offense so far?
Yeah, I was just going off Isaac. Padres are in second out of all the teams in home runs. Dodgers are in first with 63, Padres at 61. So it's kind of now obvious to all of us that the Padres are going to be very dependent on the long ball, and when they're hitting home runs is when they're going to be the ones winning.
No doubt. And this team has been, this is a fun team to watch. In my life, the Padres have not been as exciting as they are right now. And it's just like every game is like, and this is kind of the bad part, but every game is like late inning stuff goes on because the Padres bullpen hasn't been very good. And it just seems like either they're gonna kind of like allow a whole bunch of runs at the end of the game. Well, it seems like almost every night it's like, oh, the Padres are winning. They get off to like a decent start where they have a lead. Then the bullpen comes in, blows the lead, and more often than not, the bats come through at the at in a late inning rally and they end up winning it for us. So the recipe to win is definitely there. I think that there's improvements that can be made. And with that said, I kind of want to transition a little bit into the struggles that we've seen. Because the bats, I think that there's not much to complain about hitting right now. But there is a couple of questions, and these are the two guys that I would say were supposed to be the aces of the group. Paddock has not been good lately, and Garrett Richards has been struggling a ton. Yesterday in the second doubleheader, he didn't even get out of the first inning. I believe the game before that, he only went 2 innings, and I think he allowed 6 runs as well. Right now, Paddock has a 5.15 ERA. Richards has a 5.17 ERA. So that is not what you'd like to see at all. And these guys were kind of supposed to be the aces. Luckily, Lamet, he's balling up, and Davies has been he's been phenomenal. I think he's been the biggest surprise out of anyone, maybe outside of Jake Cronenworth, because Cronenworth is just, I mean, he's, as Isaac said before, Cronen God. He's been balling. So these guys have not been struggling. Chase, do you want to get into why they've been struggling? Because I feel like you've seen some stuff and you've been talking about how why. I mean, especially Paddock, like you've brought up like why Paddock's struggling. So do you want to kind of touch on that?
So for Paddock specifically, his velocity was down. He's normally sitting mid-90s, if not hitting 93 occasionally. His velocity for his fastball has been down, and his locations have been far off. He's been sort of leaking towards the middle of the plate with either running it or cutting it with his fastball, and he said himself, that's not my fastball. I just need to do better. His curveball just it's been all right. I know it's still a developing third pitch, but from what you see on TV, maybe it's just from a spectating perspective, but it just doesn't look like it's fooling anybody. It just looks like it hangs up there too much and it's not fooling any batters. And when he hangs it, man, do batters take advantage of it? His changeup has been solid. That's the pitch he's been getting all his strikeouts with, is mostly his changeup. And when you only throw two pitches, really, just relying on a fastball and changeup because the curveball's not getting it done, and you're missing with your fastball, you're gonna get hurt. And the same thing kind of goes with Richards, is he's kind of been wild. He hasn't really been able to get his strikeouts or get people to swing and miss at his stuff, which ends up running counts, and either he's walking or he's giving up hits. So they both just need to do better on locating their pitches together.
Yeah, Isaac, anything you want to add with these guys' struggles lately? I guess in like the last like 2 or 3 starts for each of them.
Chase pretty much nailed it. I mean, they've been really struggling with location. We see Richards, he's been throwing a lot of balls lately, and what he said, he's just really in his head right now. And I guess you can kind of link that to the mental aspect of the game, like Manny. He's struggling just with his just in with confidence in himself. And obviously yesterday he went 2/3, and no pitcher wants to do that. They feel like they're letting team down. But these guys are constantly missing their spots. Paddock, I feel like what my dad said is he thinks Paddock is throwing too many strikes. And I could see that, I guess, because after a while you're gonna start getting rocked. He needs to try constantly being around the zone with his fastball and his changeup, but his velocity's been up and down this year, and I hate seeing him struggle, because I feel like as a Padres fan, we all really like him. We all really want him to succeed. But I think he'll come around, hopefully.
Yeah, and bringing up Paddock first. So the rough game that we saw, and that was actually 3 starts ago, was against the Dodgers. He only went 3 innings, 6 hits, 6 earned runs, I think it like 3 homers, I want to say, 1 walk and a strikeout. Then the next start, he went 6 innings, 4 hits, only 1 earned run, Two walks, five strikeouts. So that was a solid outing. I mean, that's a quality start right there. And then, of course, what was it, 2 days ago? Or I guess 3 days ago, because they didn't play on Wednesday. So Tuesday, five innings, eight hits, six earned runs, one walk, seven strikeouts. The one thing I would say about that is that he got it together after a rough start. So I would not be surprised if it's just kind of a bump in the road for Paddock, but it's definitely concerning because, like you were saying, he throws a ton of strikes. His fastball's pretty straight. Then he has a changeup and he throws his 12-6 curve. And Chase, you were talking about this before. You don't like the fact that he throws a 12-6. You think he should throw a 3-7 just because I mean, it seemed like everything is so up and down and there's not much side-to-side movement. Where he's throwing a straight fastball, he has a changeup, and yeah, that's going to drop. But there's not really any side-to-side action. So, Chase, do you want to touch on like why the curveball isn't that beneficial to him having like at least a 12-6 curve?
Yeah, so part of the reason that I don't like it is that it just doesn't look like it's fooling anybody and it just hangs there forever. It's not like Kershaw's 12-6 where it actually has more horizontal movement. What I want Paddock to do is just to tighten up the spin on it and tighten up the break on it so that it has a little bit more horizontal break, or even if it has just straight vertical break to it and not really any horizontal, just a tighter break to it so that it's not hanging up in the air so long. And you might get more swings and misses that way.
Yeah, I agree as well. I didn't really understand like what the difference between the 12-6 and the 3-7 was, and you explained it to me, and I mean it made perfect sense, and it's kind of interesting. Maybe he just felt like that was an easier pitch for him to obtain. I'm not really sure why that was the one he developed, but it really does seem like he just hangs it in there and it just falls right in the middle of the plate. Because you'll see him get some. He had a strikeout the other day where he struck the guy out looking, but it was just sitting right in the middle of the plate. And it seemed like if you're a hitter, you're just going to look at that, your eyes are going to get big, and you want to just smoke it out of the park. And it doesn't seem like it's fooling people, like you said, Chase. So I think that's my biggest issue with him is that like, is he a limited player because he doesn't have the side-to-side movement? And it just seems like he doesn't always fool guys. And if guys are onto him, and maybe it's a scouting report thing. Maybe some teams are just scouting him better. And it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to tee off on Chris Paddock to start the game because we know he's going to throw it right in the zone. We know it's going to be straight. We're going to smoke the fastball. We're not going to let him get to the changeup, really. We're not going to let him get into strikeout areas. And it seems like that might be something that he's going to struggle with. But also, when we talk about Paddock, we got to account that the dude is young. The dude is really young. Right now, he is, I think, yeah, he's 24. So this is his second season in the league. I think it's a little bit frustrating because the Padres are trying to, I mean, they're contending, and you got a guy that's supposed to kind of take that number one spot, and he's having some beginning of his career a little like hiccups. I mean, we saw those last year, and then he got shut down after those. He didn't really get the chance to work it out. I think it overall in his career, it's not anything to be super worried about. I don't know if he'll ever be like a true dominant, just number one pitcher that comes out there, 2.5 ERA, something like that. But I think he'll be a guy that's around a 3 ERA, gives you a lot of quality starts, can pitch in big games. I mean, he likes to be in the big moments, which I think is an important thing, especially for a pitcher. But I don't know. I think that it's a little bit concerning, but not that concerning. So that's kind of where I'm at with him. Garrett Richards, I don't know about Richards. Richards is he's not he's been pitching bad and he's been getting roughed up. Isaac, do you want to kind of talk about like why you think Richards has been struggling?
Well, just hearing what Garrett Richards had to say, like I said earlier, he's just been really, he said he's really in his head right now because he feels like he's letting his teammates down, his performance. So if you look at the first couple games, Garrett Richards was not bad. He was actually, I thought he was doing pretty well. He would normally go 5 or 6. So he wasn't doing too bad. I don't hate Richards. I think he's solid. I hope he bounces back. It's just, it's kind of disappointing when you're only going 2 innings max. That's what he went, I think, 2 starts ago. Then this one, he went 2/3. It's really all just due because you look at this past game against the Mariners. He had 2 full counts, or no, 2 1-2 counts, something like that. And he ended up walking the guy. So it's really all just due to his control. And walks never help a pitcher. You need to try getting those outs, and you need to really take advantage of those 1-2 counts.
Yeah, definitely. And he's a veteran player. I mean, he missed like around 2 seasons with after Tommy John surgery. So maybe he's gonna have some hiccups. I think the big thing for those two guys is come playoff time, they need to be pitching well. And if you have one of these hiccups like they're having right now in the middle of a playoff game, it could potentially mean the season. So I think that's concerning. As far as the pitching goes, the bullpen. It really seems now like the bullpen is solid, and then whenever Javi Guerra comes in, whenever Craig Stammen comes in, these guys just get destroyed. I think Chase and Isaac, I think we've all three seen enough of Craig Stammen. We don't want to see him anymore at all. And luckily the Padres were able to pull out a win after Stammen came in on Thursday in the first doubleheader, allowed 4 runs and didn't even get an out. So like I don't know what they see with him. I don't want to see him pitch anymore. You know what he does? He comes in, he pitches some innings and he doesn't pitch him well. So I don't really understand the point of seeing him out there. As far as the bullpen goes, I think they're, I mean, the bullpen and like the bottom end of the starters, we have to see a trade. Isaac, do you want to talk about a couple guys that you potentially want to see, or a couple teams at least that you potentially want to see trade for?
I mean, obviously we know the Red Sox are not really in contention, but there's really nothing that they can give us, in my opinion, in terms of pitching. You see Trevor Rosenthal from the Royals, and I don't know what we'd be what package would take to get him. He's looking pretty good this year. I think his ERA is below 4. I think it's well below 4, and he's throwing pretty good. He's looking good again, and definitely be a good presence in our bullpen considering Stammen lets up 4 runs a game. You really think about it, you can either bring up guys or you can trade for guys, and even if they allow 2 runs, it's better than Stammen because Stammen's consistently for 4. It's even better than Garrett because Garrett's constantly loading the bases. I mean, you really have nothing to lose if you want to bring someone up or if you want to make a move at the deadline. So that's where I'm sitting on it. But Chase, what do you have to say about any trades or anything?
I am liking a lot of guys off the Royals for potential trade candidates, such as like Josh Stamont, even though that might be a little bit of an expensive trade package on the Padres prospect wise. We do have the guys to do it. He's only 26 years old. He can throw 100. Looks pretty solid this year. And then even Kyle Zimmer on the Royals too. He's another guy, hard thrower, has a pretty solid curveball. He's 28, probably has some pretty good time left on his contract before he's due for, I wouldn't say a big contract, but a reliever size contract. And they would be better than the guys here. And even if we don't trade for one of them, even a guy like Michael Givens off the Orioles would be a great addition to our bullpen because, yeah, we've had some guys that have struggled even just 1 inning.
Yeah, I like the fact that you target a team like the Royals for a trade because they're probably going to make a couple trades, and the Padres have a deep farm. AJ Preller basically said that like, yes, they're interested in making trades, but of course you always only make a trade if you think that there's a value there. Which I don't know if I entirely agree with that. I think that a lot of people, I this is the problem I have with AJ Preller. Like, yes, getting value is important, but also winning the trade in value doesn't necessarily translate to wins. We've seen trades where it's like, oh, this team lost the trade initially, and then you look back and you go, wow, that player was worth it. He was worth the overpay, and it caused the team to win. So I don't know if he's gonna get like too invested in the value of the trade, but I think that they got to make a move. I think the bullpen, this team, the lineup is too stacked. And look at how they're playing right now. Tommy Pham struggled and then got hurt. He should be back. He's going to be back in the lineup. And I think that, like, outside of catcher, I think you make it, I think that they can make a trade for a catcher. I don't know if they will, but I think they got, I think they're going to make a trade. And outside of catcher, it's got to be a pitcher. You brought up the Royals. I know that the Pirates apparently are willing to trade like anything. I saw a report on MLB Trade Rumors about that. So that would be cool if you make a trade with the Pirates. They're struggling, obviously. The Royals used to have very good starting pitchers. Maybe you trade a guy like Owen Miller. That was the guy that I was thinking about trading away. He has solid value. He's a solid prospect. If you're a team that's not ready to contend, trading for a guy like Owen Miller makes a lot of sense for a bullpen arm. And, I mean, I think the move there is smart for the Padres. Like, what are you going to do with Owen Miller? You're going to play him at second? Okay, you have Profar, Greg Garcia, and Jake Cronenworth, who now seems to be the everyday second baseman. So you're not going to move him to second and have him play there, because that was kind of the rumors with Owen Miller. Is like, oh yeah, he's going to try to be the second baseman of the future. Doesn't look like that's going to work out. And at third and shortstop, obviously you have two guys there that are the future. And not to mention, if Owen Miller is a future player, they have CJ Abrams, who's farther, not farther along, but he's a better prospect than Owen Miller. So he's not only blocked by the guys that are on the team right now, but he's blocked by other prospects that are going to be called up. So he doesn't really have a place on this team. And it sucks, because I know a lot of Padres fans were really excited about him a couple years back. And I think that he's just going to have he's going to fit better on a different team. So they have prospects that are like that are just, there's not a clear role for them moving forward. Why not move those guys, get an arm, maybe two arms, maybe trade for a catcher. Maybe you can move Austin Hedges. I don't think they'll do it. I don't know what his value is at all. I feel like it's not very high, but it just seems like this is a group of guys that they know who is going to be their future. And there's a lot of prospects, which is credit to AJ Preller for building up the farm. But they got to move some of these guys, and I think they got to make a move for an arm. So the Royals, I think that's a great one, Chase. Isaac, you brought up some great stuff as well. Like, I like the idea of them making a trade. Stammen, Javier, we can't see them pitch anymore. If Stammen comes in like the seventh inning of a playoff game and they lose because of him, I think all hell is going to break loose in San Diego, because I don't know a single Padres fan that's like, yeah, keep Stammen going. You know, it just doesn't make any sense moving forward. So are you guys, Isaac, are you kind of feeling the same way, just about like you got to make a move and it's worth it to move a solid prospect that's probably blocked by the guys ahead of him?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if the guys are blocked by, I mean, what are the odds of Owen Miller taking over for Manny Machado? I mean, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis, Jake Cronenworth is looking like an everyday player right now, and hopefully he keeps it up. So I don't see the point in keeping the guys who are blocked by our studs right now. You know, as a Padres fan, I definitely feel like we need to be buyers at the deadline, considering, you know, the Dodgers are looking incredible right now, which I hate to say, but you know, it definitely would benefit to get some more arms or even look for that fifth starter, because a bullpen day is not always going to benefit us in the long run, considering we need those bullpen arms for other games, for when our starters are struggling.
Yeah, another thing, after I kind of touch this, we'll move on to Chase Tingler and talking about how he's been as a manager. But another thing is, if you trade for a couple bullpen arms, maybe you trade for two, right? Well, then you can move Cal Quantrill into that fifth spot. And he's been such a good player so far. Last season, he had, I think, around a little over a 5 ERA. But most of the year, he was at a 3 ERA. And then his last two or three starts, he got absolutely rocked. But this year, he has a sub-3 ERA. He's pitched in some big innings. He's came in. He's been great. And so I think that he should be the fifth starter. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but like the bullpen, I think they just need a couple more arms. Drew Pomeranz is going to come back soon. Chase, you brought up that Jose Castillo is probably a couple weeks away, but he should be back as well. We haven't seen him in a while, and hopefully Kirby's back in October. And, you know, you add those three guys back into the bullpen, like, it's going to look a lot different. But I still think that you can make a move or two for a couple arms, and that's going to be very beneficial. With that said, Jace Tingler, I don't have a ton of things to complain about. The only issues I've had is they keep pitching these guys like Craig Stammen and Javi Guerra, where it's like every time these dudes come in, they either blow a game, allow a couple runs. It seems like every time at least. And their ERAs also will tell you that story. Stammen's at like a 7 ERA, and I think Guerra's probably at like over a 10. He's at like a 10 or 11 right now. But beside like the hitting stuff, I think that their approach at the plate is better. I think that the team has been playing better. I don't know how much credit we should give Jace Tingler for that, but it's been a big flip of the switch this season, moving on from Andy Green, having Jace Tingler in there. And so outside of the bullpen, like the weird substitutions in the bullpen, I've been happy with it. I like the way that the lineups work. I like how he's changed up the lineup and adjusted, which I think a lot of managers kind of like, and I also don't know, maybe AJ Preller's setting the lineup that makes more sense in baseball, but the lineups have been solid. I like the way they've utilized the positional players. Outside of using the bullpen in a weird way, I've been happy with it. Chase, have you been happy with Jace Tingler so far? What's to like, what's not to like from what you've seen?
I absolutely despise Tingler's use of the bullpen, and I do have some critiques on his use of the lineup. Just like, he really hasn't let Tingler or France play an entire game at DH. He seems to only let each of them get about 2 at-bats, and then he switches them out, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You usually gotta let a guy at least play a whole game, get those at-bats in, and let him develop. You saw Myers. Myers was having a pretty rough day in that first doubleheader game, and in his last at-bat, he walked it off. You gotta let those guys get more than 2 at-bats a game for them to fully develop. And that's been my one critique about Tingler's use of the lineup. And his pinch hitters have sometimes been weird, but his bullpen use has got to get better. You can't be throwing Stammen in the last inning of a game. Or even, like, in the second doubleheader, he left Bednar in for the second inning, and once he started to struggle, he didn't warm up anybody until he gave up 4 runs. That should be unacceptable. That is unacceptable. You should have somebody warming up as soon as your guy starts to let people on base, because you only let Patino go 1 inning. That guy's used to being a starter. He only threw 17 pitches. Let him go out there for the second. He should be able to do it. David Bednar is a reliever. And you even said yourself, multiple inning outings for relievers are difficult. Patino should be used to it. He's a starter. He's used to throwing 80 to 90 pitches a game. So let him go out to 2 innings and not just a reliever.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Chase. And Patino's been playing better. He had a couple long balls against him when he got called up. That makes sense. That's something that's going to happen. You're going to have to adjust a little bit. But he's been good. Right now he's repping a 4.76 ERA. Not the best, but I mean, he got his last couple starts. He's looked good. You see his stuff is very good. And it's going to take him a little bit, but why not let him have those innings? Especially in a game where if you're down, like the Padres are down 6-3, let him finish out the game. Why not? It's a doubleheader. You need these innings to get eaten. Like, give him 3 innings. See what he can do. See if he can kind of get into a groove. Because if he's a good arm, that's going to be crucial down the stretch. We've been talking about, like, okay, maybe you called Gore. And they haven't. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But Patino's up, so you might as well utilize him as much as you can. I want to see them use Patino more. Maybe they put him into that fifth spot. Morahone's kind of been there. I don't know what they're thinking about, how to use him moving forward. But Morahone and Patino, like, let's see them in these long stretch innings, you know, like 3 innings, 2 innings, 4 innings as a reliever, because we don't need to see a guy like Bednar who hasn't been that great, and more specifically a guy like Craig Stammen or Javi Guerra, because they've been struggling so much. Might as well have Morejon and Patino come in here and be used in longer outings, longer bullpen outings, and I just don't see why they're not doing that. That's my main issue with Tinkler as well. Isaac, what do you have to say about Tinkler so far?
With Chase, I'm not the biggest fan of Jace Tingler right now. I mean, I don't have too much against him. I just hate how he uses the bullpen, because we continuously see Craig Stammen come in big situations. He blows it, you know, like we're used to seeing. We see Javi come in, he blows it. Bednar came in yesterday, and he didn't help. So it's just a matter of questionable decisions regarding the bullpen. And we have brought up in earlier podcasts questionable decisions regarding the lineup. It's more so about the bullpen, and like you said, with Patino being potentially the fifth starter, you know, why not give him that chance? Let him know, like, you're starting tomorrow, or you're starting in 2 days, because if you really think about it, getting that start, you know, you have a couple days or a couple hours maybe to mentally and physically prepare yourself for your start the way you are personally used to, which in this case, Patino is normally a starter. And, you know, to me, for Patino, it would be easier to prepare himself for a start rather than, you know, surprise, you're coming in this inning. And I think that could be a factor in Patino's somewhat high ERA. But, I mean, we've seen what the kid can do. He can light up the radar gun, and he can be a solid pitcher.
Yeah, and Patino looks very promising too. But I want to kind of get into some of these guys that are the new acquisitions and how we feel about how they've been so far. Starting off with Jake Cronenworth, Isaac, I'll let you start with him, because you coined the nickname Cronen God. So you can start off with Jake Cronenworth, but I think we're all going to feel the same way about Cronenworth so far.
I mean, you know, we all know how I feel about Cronenworth. That's Cronen God, man. That dude's hitting really well. You think about timely hitting, he's done it. And it seems like every game he's getting a base hit. And he's not the kind of guy that's going to hit just home runs. He's not like a Will Myers. This guy is constantly getting on base, whether it be via a walk or a hit. And that's very crucial towards the bottom of the lineup. I think he's batting sixth or fifth right now, middle of the lineup more so. But it's very crucial to get guys on, and he's, you know, he's really the guy that's constantly getting on, and that's what I really like about him.
Yeah, you brought up getting on base. Right now he's hitting .360 with a .415 on base percentage, which is absurd. And he only has he has 3 homers, actually surprising pop in his bat, which wasn't really expected of him. I know as a prospect, his power tool wasn't very high. I think that was the weakest of all of his attributes. I think earlier this episode, Chase brought up that he's been a great defensive player. So Cronenworth looks like a steal in that trade. And he was basically a throw-in in the Tommy Pham trade. And we haven't really seen much out of Tommy Pham so far. But Jake Cronenworth has been an absolute dude so far, and just a monster. Another second baseman that was acquired, Jerkson Profar. I personally like Profar. I get that there's some question marks with him. I think we know how much AJ Preller likes him, but Chase, how do you feel about Jerkson Profar now that we're about halfway through with the 60-game season?
I know Profar walks a lot, and he gets on base a lot, and he does run up the counts, but he's still hitting under .200, so I'd kind of want to see Naylor take over that left field spot. He's hitting in the .270s. Naylor's pretty good with the bat. He's not as he's still patient, but not as patient as Profar has been. But he still will run up the count, not as much as Profar, but I do want to see Naylor get that shot in left field.
Yeah, I agree. And we've been high on Naylor for a long time. I think the thing about Naylor also is that he's just exciting to watch. And like obviously like the Padres are a very exciting team. We got a ton of super exciting players. Mostly Fernando Tatis Jr., most excited player in baseball. But But it just seems like Naylor always does something that's like, oh, look at that. Like he gets the team going. And I know it's like it's a hard thing to measure because you can't really measure like, oh, he beat out he got an infield hit because he seems to do that a lot. But he brings something to the team and just he's fun to watch. And I think that I agree with you. I think that they should use him in left field more. I don't know. I mean, he's hitting what? You said 270
Something
base?
around
He's hitting
there,
around
like
270.
I would say mid 270s. I think last time I checked was 276.
Okay. So that's good. I don't know if he'll get as many walks, but he's hitting almost 100 batting points higher than Profar because Profar is only batting 188 right now. And I think that Profar is solid. I think that it would be a better option to go with Naylor as well. So I like that you brought that up. I also think that Profar is kind of a he I mean he's like a he's a very heavy pull hitter, which is weird because like he's a switch hitter, but he's super pull heavy, and you see the shifts and he'll rip them into the shifts and just hit them right to a guy. So it kind of seems like he'll be getting good contact and he'll be having super long at bats. I mean, I've seen him have a couple 10 pitch at bats and then draw a walk. He gets a ton of walks. But I don't know. I like the idea of having Naylor there. Also, another guy that gets a ton of walks and stuff is Greg Garcia. I mean, he led the team last year with a 364 on base percentage. And it just seems like, okay, like you might as well use a guy like Greg Garcia if he has a 364 on base percentage because he can hit 250 when Profar's he's a career 220, 230 hitter, and right now he's hitting 188. So I don't think that Profar deserves all the scrutiny he's gotten. But I do think that it's warranted to maybe replace him in the near future. And then the final guy I want to bring up is going to be Trent Grisham. Isaac, you want to lead it off with him?
Grisham, yeah, he's obviously, ever since he moved to that leadoff spot, he's been, to me, he's been doing really well in that leadoff spot. He's getting on base kind of often. We saw that three home run game. That was monstrous. I mean, that's the kind of upside that Trent Grisham brings to your lineup. And that's the kind of upside you want, especially in your leadoff spot. And then you have Tatisa Machado coming up next. When Grisham's hot, it's kind of hard to have to pitch around the 1 through 6, considering how hot that portion of the lineup is, and Trent Grisham leading us off is a really good. That's a really good guy to have to start off the game, start off our lineup, and yeah, I like him out in center field too. He has a lot of range, and he's doing great to me.
Yeah, the other day he had that three home run game, and I think that San Diego, it was a good switch for him. Obviously, he had the issues with the Brewers where he made the error in the playoff game, and I mean after plays like that, I think it's smart to kind of move on from him. But when you look at that trade, was it Luis Urias and I forget who else was? Starting pitcher. I'm
Eric
blanking on his
Lauer.
name right now. Lauer, yeah, Lauer and Urias for Trent Grisham and Zach Davies. That looks like a great trade for the Padres right now. I'm hoping that they can hang on, that Trent Grisham just keeps playing how he's playing, and I think he will. He's hitting around 250, nothing like insane, but he's playing center field well. He's a good player. I think he's a future starter. Like a long-term starter for the Padres, at least in their plans, because he's not some insane player like some superstar, but he does his job. He gets on base. He gets on base at least every once in a while. He'll have an 0 for 4 game, but he seems to get on base a solid amount. He walks a good amount, plays in the good counts. He does strike out a lot. So does Fernando Tatis. I think that just the way that baseball works now is like you can have a guy that strikes out a bunch, so not the biggest thing in the world, but he brings pop. He's a solid leadoff hitter. I think in the future, you get a guy like CJ Abrams up. He might be kicked down in the order, but I think he's going to be a longtime San Diego Padre. And Zach Davies on the other side of that trade, he's been spectacular. So that trade is looking fantastic. And that was one of those trades where I was like, this could really hurt the Padres. You know, they traded a starting pitcher. They basically did a starter for starter swap, and they traded one of their top prospects for years. So, also, it seems like
Thank you.
The Padres are talking about trading with the Brewers again. Josh, is it pronounced Hader Chase? Hatter?
Josh Hader.
Josh Hader. Okay. So Chase, you want to kind of talk about the rumors about him right now?
So Josh Hader has a few years left on his contract before he's owed any real big money, and he was placed as the number one reliever in the MLB, if ahead of Kirby Yates in the preseason rankings. So you know he's good. He sat around a 2.76 ERA, throwing multiple innings last year. High velocity lefty with a wipeout slider. Absolutely confuses batters. I would love to have him, but he would be a very expensive pickup.
Yeah, so you're talking like top end prospects for him, huh?
Yeah, do you guys remember the Craig Kimbrel trade that we traded to Boston?
Yeah, it was a boatload.
It was a boatload. We got Margot, Guerra, and two other prospects for it. So we could see something like that going for Hader.
Yeah, and you look at this at his numbers. This year he hasn't even allowed a run. He's pitched in 9 games. He has 7 saves. Last year, pitched in 61 games, 37 saves, a 2.62 ERA. Year before that, 55 games pitched, 12 saves, 2.43 ERA. And then in 2017, 35 games pitched in and a 2.08 ERA. So he is a very consistent player. He's a lefty. They don't have many lefties right now, especially with Pomeranz out. So this would be kind of a power move for the Padres if they pulled something like this. But it does seem like it would cost a pretty penny to get him. Isaac, what you want them to pull this deal? Do you think this is a good guy to go after? Do you think it's too much?
I really like Josh Hader. I mean, the guy throws, that guy's good. I mean, I've seen him pitch before. I remember specifically against, I think it was the Dodgers. I can't remember what series, but it was a playoff game, and that dude was dominating. He was going crazy. I think the only downside is that the Brewers have said that the price for Josh Hader is going to be supposedly bananas. And I think that's just the only downside to it. But, you know, this would be one of those trades where we would just have to see what happens in the long run. If he can provide us that quality bullpen arm that he has been for so long, that star bullpen arm, I guess, then I think it'd be a valuable trade for us. But, you know, who knows what we'd be willing to give up.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a lot to acquire him. I think the bigger takeaway than maybe actually acquiring him is the fact that the Padres are trying to move a lot of pieces for a very good arm. And at the very least, they're doing their due diligence and trying to acquire a star bullpen player because they recognize that the bullpen is an issue. So I think this is a good time to kind of end the episode. I think that we talked about that they need to get a bullpen arm, and we just saw right now that they might be trying to acquire Josh Hader and are at least looking into how much he costs. So hopefully we see Josh Hader in a Padres uniform in the future, or another very good bullpen arm to help that issue, because I think if this team is a couple arms away from being one of the very best teams in the league. So once again, thanks everyone for listening, and go Padres.